Let's pray. Father, our Lord Jesus, blessed Holy Spirit, thank you for the power that is in the finished work of Christ in the blood. And that as we stand as children of the promise and fix our eyes on Jesus, you're going to get it done. Thank you, Lord God. Accomplish your work this morning in me, through us, in Jesus' name. Well, you might have heard that our theme for Kids Club this year, we were calling Higher Ground. And it's about the alpine and the mountains. And there's all kinds of cool images that come to mind, the outstanding views and the fresh air. And, you know, though, I can't escape. Well, we think of higher ground, we think of a hymn, right? I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day, still praying as I'm onward bound, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground, that beautiful old hymn. But you think of effort. I think of effort when I think of mountains. It jumps into my head right away. Perhaps in part because there's a glorified hill on Hornby Island. The highest point of Hornby Island is called Mount Jeffrey. Maybe it seems like an exaggeration to attach the word mount to a Gulf island, but Isaiah found out that it's covered in mountain biking trails. So that's where my mother-in-law lives. We go up to Hornby Island. We began to take the mountain bike. And for the first few times, I drove him to what I thought was the top of the mountain and dropped him off at this trail access there. And he did his thing and rode down. And then we decided it would be really cool if Dad got a mountain bike and joined him. That's when I discovered that I wasn't driving him to the top of the mountain. I was driving him near the top of the mountain, and there was half hour of climbing to do before you got to the top of the mountain, could stand there and have a snack and a break and look out over this gorgeous view, Lambert Channel. There's the ferry dock at Shinglespit way down there, and it looks like you're looking right across at the Vancouver Island Mountains. It's just absolutely breathtaking vista from the top of the ridge there, but there's half an hour of climbing, and I don't know better. I know that a serious biker stays on his bike and pedals. So a few minutes into this climb, I'm flaked on the side of the moss like this, gasping with my bike tipped over beside me, absolutely gasping. Swallow hard, Chris. Those are your lungs. You need those, you know. And maybe that's part of the reason. Now I'm smarter. I no pride. I walk my bike. As soon as I start getting out of breath, I walk the thing. Because then I arrive alive at the top. And I say, when I get home, I'm going to ride every day and get my aerobic capacity built up. And when I get home, I don't. Anyway, that might be part of the reason I think of effort when I think of higher ground in the mountains. And it might be the part of the reason that the first scripture that came to mind as I began to mull this was Hebrews 12. Now listen to, well, my brother John comes and reads Hebrews 12. He's going to read the whole chapter, so if I'm a bit long, it's his fault. And I might say something wrong this morning, but this man will say nothing wrong. He's going to read scripture. Absolutely. And you might get why I think of effort here.
So, Hebrews 12, I think I will put these on. Hi, Larry.
I hear you.
Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. In your struggle against sin, you have not resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And have you completely forgotten this word of encouragement that addresses you as a father addresses his son? It says, "My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline. And do not lose heart when he rebukes you, Because the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and he chastens everyone he accepts as his son. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as his children. For what children are not disciplined by their father? If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are not legitimate, not true sons and daughters at all. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of spirits and live? They disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good, in order that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. Make level paths for your feet, so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed. Make every effort to live in peace and with everyone and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. See that no one is sexually immoral or is godless like Esau, who, for a single meal, sold his inheritance rights as the oldest son. Afterward, as you know, when he wanted to inherit this blessing, he was rejected. Even though he sought the blessing with tears, he could not change what he had done. You have not come to a mountain that can be touched and that is burning with fire, to darkness, gloom, and storm, to a trumpet blast, or to such a voice speaking words that those who heard it begged that no further word be spoken to them, because they could not bear what was commanded. If even an animal touches the mountain, it must be stoned to death. The sight was so terrifying that Moses said, "I am trembling with fear." But you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. See to it that you do not refuse him who speaks. If they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, how much less will we if we turn away from him who warns us from heaven? At that time, his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised, "Once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens." The words "once more" indicate the removing of what can be shaken, that is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptingly, with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. And before you get up, I'm going to improv a little bit.
Good.
Because after I read this morning, because Chris actually told me last night that he wanted me to read, so I had time to look at it once. When it ended, I was, I always have trouble stopping. It's like, okay. But Miho has a guest. Abby came from Nanaimo to meet last night. There's a group of kids that were meeting here last night discussing how to get themselves to Camp Imadine again this year. And so I thought, I better stop. I have to make breakfast. So I went and started breakfast, and then I went and sat and read again. And I'm not going to read what I read again, but I just opened my Bible, as I often do, and it was Psalm 18. And it fit perfectly with what I just read. And so later today, if you have the time, I encourage you to have a look at Psalm 18, because it really fit onto the end of Hebrews 12, for me anyhow, this morning. It's all yours.
I'm no good with the numbers. I have to see what words it is. Yeah. Ah, yes. Thank you.
I'll give you that.
We should have had you standing up. But you have come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels in festal gathering, to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect. If you weren't at our Revelation study with Alicia, it should have been. Well, thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you, brother. So I mentioned that the idea of mountains makes me think of effort, and that made me think of Hebrews 12. And as John read it, I'm working in a different translation, but you maybe picked up some verbs. Let me read them to you again, some of them even. Maybe you'll cringe a little bit. Lay aside. Let us run. Consider him who endured, not grow weary, struggle against sin, resisted to the point of shedding your blood, discipline, lift your drooping hands, strengthen your weak knees, strive for peace and for holiness, offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe. Ooh. Anybody cringing just a little bit? When we go there, yes, I did, sorry. When we go there to the idea of heights, the idea of climbing comes up, and the thought of us getting out of breath comes up. And the question arises, and it's the question that has, and the conundrum and the challenge that the church has faced while the ink was still drying on those ancient parchments as the apostles wrote. The medieval days, the Puritan days, American Western fundamentalism, evangelicalism today. How do we avoid what we call legalism? How do we avoid becoming focused on our efforts, critical of others, and proud of ourselves? When we do that, we miss out on the joy and presence of our Father on higher ground. It completely derails things. It makes a caricature of Christianity, a caricature that the world's quite anxious to spit back at us. I know in the workplace, right? Oh, you guys, you're all, you know, judgmental of everybody else, all about the don't do this, don't do that, right? How do we avoid that in the face of this upward call, in the face of words that say, let us also, in my translation, lay aside every weight and the sin which clings so closely and run with endurance. How do we run with endurance? The writer to the Hebrews' analogy here is of a running race. I think of climbing for reasons I've told you. Well, the answer, of course, is beautifully simple and basic. I only want to bring what's simple and basic because that's what's true. And it's baked right into the text. Looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, etc. We read it. It's beautiful. So what about looking to Jesus? How do we look to Jesus in a way that allows us to run, propels us to run, and obeys all these verbs without falling into that trap of being proud and judgmental and focused on our own efforts? Well, there's three ways baked right into this text. First, let's get on with it. The author of our faith. Founder, pioneer, some of your translations say. I'm going to suggest this is not only our faith collectively. Sometimes I refer to Jesus as the founder of the firm, right? The founder of the Christian faith. for whom we're all named, the founder of our faith individually. I go right away, perhaps you do too, Ephesians 2. These are famous verses. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, by the undeserved gift of God, you have been saved and raised us up with him. There's some elevation for you. And seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not of your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. This is apple pie Christianity gospel, folks. This is bedrock. We know this verse. The author of our faith. In Romans 9, because we said, let us run with endurance. We just read that, didn't we? That charge in God's word to us. And in Romans 9, we read, so then it, saving faith, being included in God's family, depends not on human will or exertion, but on God who has mercy. Or in some translations, and more literally to the Greek, it isn't of the person who wills or the person who runs. Run with endurance, but it isn't of the person who wills or the person who runs, but God who shows mercy. Peter begins his epistles addressing those who are chosen according to the foreknowledge of God. John says in 1 John, we love him because he first loved us. And I think that's almost enough said about Jesus as the author of our faith. But I want to charge you, embrace the mercy of Jesus. Embrace that. And where we go when we read it is not of him who wills, of him who runs. Or when we read a verse that I quote often because I so love it. I finally got it. I have, you know, I often say to you, I have trouble with number references. 2:4:6. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6. 2:4:6. I love it. God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to see the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. God said, let there be light. And Paul compares that creative declaration of God that created light out of nothing to shining in our hearts to see his glory in the face of Jesus Christ and accepting Jesus Christ as our glorious, necessary, beautiful Savior. When we see these verses, sometimes folk struggle with what that opens up for them in the way of logical conclusions. In the way, where does that go? Well, but if I'm chosen in him before the... Yeah, but what about my neighbor? And they start scrambling to justify God, to preserve God's reputation from his own word. Listen, I'm not asking for you to become a bold apologist for the doctrines of grace or a five-point Calvinist or anything else. I plead with you, though, do not allow any rationale to intrude upon your grasp and your wonder and your laying back into the arms of God's mercy as the author of your faith. Amen. Let nothing intrude on that. Let nothing erode that. And if there's anybody that would hear this that is not sure where they stand before a holy God, appeal to the mercy of God. Jesus is the author of salvation. Salvation is of the Lord. And so I appeal to anybody, lay back into the arms of mercy. You know, you will either be in the arms of the mercy of God or the clutches of shame and pride. You know, those siblings can be very different. You might know that. And those evil twins, shame and pride, share the same DNA. And one's a bully and the other's a liar. and they will steal your joy, and they diminish and steal from your life the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Embrace mercy at all costs. And if embracing the complete mercy of God to call you like shining light out of darkness creates some conundrums for you in terms of God's plan for the whole world and in terms of what you think it takes for God to be fair, be like Job and place your hand over your mouth and just accept. The correct answer is thank you. Thank you. And this undercuts pride. And it takes away shame. Jesus bore our shame. His mercy bore our shame. So first, we look to Jesus as the author of our faith. So important. Then it says, looking to Jesus, the author and perfecter. Author and finisher. Can't remember some other words that translations use right now, but this is the work of the Holy Spirit. I believe Jesus is perfecter in the Holy Spirit. In John 14, 15 to 21, there's the passage where he promises the Holy Spirit, I'm going to send another comforter. And he says, you'll be in me and I will be in you. The Spirit is the Spirit of Christ. And he, our author, who began a good work in you, Philippians 1:6 says, will be faithful to complete it until the day of Christ. This completing work, the finishing of our faith, is God's work through the Holy Spirit. We need the voice of the Spirit in order to climb or to run. And not a list of do's and don'ts in a written code. Romans 7:6 says, we serve in the new way of the Spirit, not in the old way of the written code. So our text makes our need for the Holy Spirit very clear when it says, right at the very beginning, first verse, let us lay aside every weight, put away every encumbrance, everything that hinders, I think is the translation, John. Let's put away those things and the sin that clings so closely. How we need the voice of the Spirit for this. Do you notice there's a distinction between weights, encumbrances, hindrances, and sins? Ever thought on that? It kind of came to me this week. Lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so close. Weights and sins. That means weights aren't sins. So if we're keeping a sin list, your weights won't be on that. That also means it's very individual. Colossians 10:23 says, all things are lawful, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful, but not all things build up. Romans 14 is actually a beautiful chapter. And although it appears to be talking about meat sacrificed to idols, it appeals to love for one another. And it appeals to this being led by the finisher of our faith in our journey in such a beautiful way. And when he's talking about keeping of special days and Sabbaths and festivals and eating of meat, whether it's sold in the market as being sacrificed to idols or not and all this, and not causing our brother or sister to stumble and obeying our conscience in these matters rather than a written rule, he says each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. So we need the finish of our faith to reveal what those weights are. Because what's a weight for me might not be a weight for you. Is the internet a sin? Can be. It's a great help in Bible study. I find my Bible software, if I query it, because I've worked in so many translations through the years, I'll put in a phrase and it's not exact. And I told you I was lousy with the numbers, so I'll go, boy, I want to double check that I've got that in context and that I'm not misquoting it. Where is that? It's in Paul, it's in, I think, Colossians, and I'll know the words, but where are those numbers? And I'll put it in ESORD, and it will come up, and I'll have to try it in five different translations. If I touch the microphone on my phone and say three words of scripture, boom, it takes me right to that scripture in any translation I want. Some meaningful commentary by good people right there, boom. Is the internet a sin? I don't think so. Can it be? Yes. Can it be a weight? Yes. What I eat, what I drink, how I'm entertained, the stuff I have, the vehicle I drive, the clothes I like, jewelry. I don't know. Lots of things aren't sins that can be ways. And it's different for me than you. I can't, in one of these passages, I think it's the Corinthians passage. Well, and it comes out in Romans 14 as well. Corinthians talks about, 1 Corinthians, about how our attitude towards meat sacrifice to idols and causing each other to trip up and not judging each other comes out in Romans 14 about not judging our brother, about their choices. Wow. So it's very individual. Again, how dependent we are on the looking to Jesus as the finisher of our faith. Not only looking to him in a theoretical way, looking to him for his help, calling out on that help. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. Listen, am I fully convinced that the choices I make take me upward to a closer relationship with God? Am I fully convinced that this activity, that this mouse click, finger click usually these days, I'm about to make, will bring me closer to the presence of God? Let each be fully convinced in his own mind. Are you fully convinced that that thing you're about to enjoy, that this isn't a sin, it's on my grace list? Oh, it sounds like the old way of the written code to me. It's reverse legalism sometimes, right? I'm on the grace list, not the sin list. This is the new way of the written code. Oops. You see what I mean? How subtle it can be? So I look to the finisher of my faith, and I say, am I fully convinced in my own mind, as Romans 14:5 says, that this is going to take me to new heights with God, bring me closer to him? It's a good question. Well, weights, encumbrances, subtle, requiring the voice of the Spirit. I come back and back again, personally and collectively for our family, to the need to be people that hear from God. I'm serious about this. Hear from his word, absolutely, but not in absence, not in competition with, not in any way denying the voice of the Holy Spirit. The living word, the finisher of our faith, that cares more about us getting to higher heights than we ever could. We need to hear him. We need to hear him. More about that in a minute. And the sins that cling so close. Lay aside the weights, which may or may not be sins, but they might become sins. Is fishing a sin? Hope not, eh? But if the sons of Zebedee had kept fishing and not followed Jesus, would that have been a sin? I think so. Would that have kept them from reaching the heights that those apostles did? Absolutely. See? Weights might not be sins. That's why it says weights and sins.
This might be justifying that Jesus said fisher of men too.
Absolutely. See? He used their passion and redirected it. Beautiful. Lay aside the weights and the sins that cling so close. Again, this points out our need for Jesus as the finisher of our faith, not for, you know, the sin list. I thought of this. Unless the Lord might have other plans, and I'm fully open to that, but otherwise I'm on this insulin pump, clips to my belt, and connects with this line. I, hopefully in a few weeks, I'll either have a reactivated pancreas or an insulin pump that's stuck to me like a little blister. And it can go in the back of my arm or the back of my leg. It can go lots of places. This can't because I have no tube. I'm kind of looking forward to it. And when you watch the YouTube stuff, the YouTube videos, a lot of people say, I love my Omnipod. I go swimming. I change my clothes. I'm never worried about it falling off my belt or this catching the cord. One time during a fire drill on the tugboat, this caught on a watertight door handle and ripped off, and I'm running down with a suction hose for the emergency fire pump, and there's my pump swinging on the side of the wheelhouse door. And oops, I need that. So I'm looking forward to the pod that clings so close. And when I watch the videos, people say, I love my Omnipod. I don't even know it's there. I just go about my life, don't even know it's there. And I thought of that. The sins cling so close, the closer they cling, the less you even know they're there. I don't even know it's there. But boy, does it have an effect. So we need the Holy Spirit. We need the finisher of our faith. And it brought to mind prayer ministry. A few weeks ago, we had a weekend together and we considered prayer ministry and inner healing. What is that? It's out of the box, maybe, for some of us. What did we do? We invited the finisher of our faith, and we said, would you show us? Is there anything weighing us down? Is there anything that clings so close? Listen, sin can cling as close as your DNA. It might not even be your sin. It might be a sin from generations. Anger, alcoholism, whatever might have affected you. It might be clinging so close that it's weighing you down, that it's tripping you up. Listen, Jesus wants to heal us of that stuff. And we don't always need to sit down at a special seminar with prayer experts to deal with those things. Although God can gift people, especially with prophetic gifts that are really tuned to hearing from the Spirit and giving a word that can help us see what clings so close. That's the value of it. But listen, don't wait for a seminar. We go before the Lord. And boy, when I'm preparing this and I'm thinking, ooh, does that mean I have to pray that? Does that mean I have to pray, Lord Jesus, reveal to me stuff that weighs me down from being closer to you? Reveal to me sins that cling so close so I can lay them aside? Oh, I guess I can't preach on that without praying it. It's a bit scary sometimes. We might enjoy those weights. We might even enjoy those sins. And so when we ask, finisher of my faith, show me. I want to be closer to you. I want to rest in more of your mercy. Will you show me? It's a bit scary sometimes. But that's what we're doing in prayer ministry. You can do that every day. You can do that daily. And yes, you can get people you love and trust that seek the Lord to join you. It's very scriptural, the one another ministry. And the Lord really does gift some people to hear the voice of the Spirit in a special way, I believe. And that's legitimate. But you know what? He wants us all to be a hearing people. And that's his invitation. And so the Holy Spirit is there as the finisher of our faith. It said, look to Jesus, the finisher of your faith. Boy, there's a whole... I'm gonna look at something with you. Romans 8. Recently, I talked to somebody who quoted some witnesses saying, well, this business of the Trinity's not in the Bible, you know. Where is it here? One day I'm going to ask one of the witnesses, but they don't come to see me anymore. Okay, Romans 8, verse 9. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. Spirit of God, Spirit of Christ. But if Christ is in you, it's Christ in me, I see. If Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. The Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, Christ, the Spirit of him who raised Christ, and his God's Spirit. So which is it? Are we done with arguing about the Trinity? So when I say we depend on the Holy Spirit because we're looking to Jesus, the finisher of our faith, it's exactly how Jesus is the finisher of our faith, is in the Spirit. Now, I don't go by the old way of the written code. I go by the new way of the Spirit. Oh, which spirit is that? The Holy Spirit, of course. Holy is not the Spirit's middle name, it's his first name. Listen, do you think the new way of the Spirit is less holy than the old way of the written code? No. So don't let your rejoicing in the new way of the Spirit be an excuse to avoid these tough verbs and to say, I don't want to go to higher ground because I'm living in... No. Higher ground is all about the new way of the Spirit. A joyful trusting in the finisher of our faith. Well, thirdly, if you know me, that means we're getting near the end. Yay. He was the author of our faith. He's the perfecter of our faith. He is the example and the motivation of our faith. Verse 2, looking to Jesus, the founder or author or pioneer of and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of God. The joy set before him. I knew I wouldn't get through a sermon without mentioning John 17. You could read John 17 every day because it's Jesus' heart for you. He says, I want to be with you where you are. He wants to re-enter. He says, the glory I had with you before the world began. The joy set before Jesus was being in the presence of God. But wait, there's more. I desire that they also, whom you have given me, may be with me where I am. That's you, and you, and you, and you, and you, and me. The joy set before Jesus that helped him endure the cross, that made that suffering doable, and in fact, propelled him through that, was to be with Chris and Rena and Steve and all of you, everybody whom he has called. You're here. He's calling you, by the way. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that huge? Jesus was compelled forward by that hope, and that's his hope is our hope, because we're going to be with him. Gold is gravel up there, folks. It's about Jesus. And looking to Jesus, we can't do that. You know, that's what we do on a Wednesday night. Whether we're looking at parables, whether we're looking at the book of Revelations, I don't get there every time because of work and various things, but when I've been able to be there so often, I'm just slack-jawed at the mercy of God, at the love he has for his people, at his plan before the ages, and at how he wove that into his word. We're looking at the tabernacle on Wednesday nights. Now, have you ever read through that? Cubits and cubits and cubits and this kind of fabric and that and bells and pomegranates and brass. You know what? Jesus is there. All that detail is for a purpose. And it brings out, and as we read it, we're looking to Jesus and going, wow. Baked into history is God's plan before the ages to show mercy to us so he could be with his people. People he's calling for his own. It's awesome. And looking to Jesus is how we run. It's how we climb God's way. Is soaking in the reality of his love and mercy for us. So not only looking to him as our example, which is so important, but looking to him as our great hope. I think of another time getting out of breath. We were camping not far from Karamias. The story fits a few different occasions of our family, but I remember camping not far, just past the Red Bridge, I think, you turn left, and there's some Forest Service campgrounds around along the Ashinola River, and somewhere around there's a trailhead that leads you up into the Alpine in Cathedral Park, I think it's called. And all of a sudden, you know, the topography changes, lupins are everywhere, and Indian paintbrush, and the trees change their form, and there's different kinds of ground squirrels, and the higher you go, it's different, and you're climbing up there. Well, there's a game we used to play when we were hiking with our kids and they'd get tired. Dad would run ahead. Yeah, I could do that in those days. And I would hide behind a rock or a tree or in a little ravine or under a bridge or something. So then the boys would be, you know, they'd be tired out by that time, and Lori would be saying, well, where'd Dad go? And they'd know Dad was there somewhere around the next bend, and they would walk forward, forget a little bit, at least, how tired they were and how hot it was or whatever, and they would walk forward, and sooner or later Dad would jump out with a fanfare and we'd have a great laugh, walk for a little while, and then I'd do it again. And this way we would get them up the trail. Well, you know, I couldn't help but think of that. When I think of the joy of being in the presence of God, when I think of what God invites me to in higher ground, because around the next bend is another encounter with my Father who loves me so much that the tiredness and the fatigue and the suffering and the things he asks me to lay aside and the sins that he points out that he says, just rip that off and leave it behind. Yeah, but I'm going to get to go around the next bend, and my daddy's going to be there. And he loves me so much, and it's so fun to meet up with him. And that's what it means to look to Jesus, the author and finish of our, because the finish line is with him. The finish line is in his glorious presence, the mercy he invites us to. And listen, there's nothing that he could spur you on to get rid of. And sometimes, you know, the Holy Spirit will speak to us about something and you'll go, I'm under grace, I'm not a legalist. No, just listen, because I tell you what, he wants an encounter with you around the next bend. He wants to jump out and invite you into his arms, and it'll be worth it. And there's another bend, and there's another bend, and there's another bend, and there's higher and higher until we're with him in glory. And there'll be things. There'll be weights. There'll be sins. There'll be things that he invites us to lay behind. And all these verbs that seem so harsh and seem so weighty, run, suffer, don't grow weary, struggle, resist, lift your drooping hands, strengthen your weak knees, strive for peace and holiness, offer to God acceptable worship. All those things we read all of a sudden take on new life. All of a sudden they're invitations to life. And when we see him as the author, the complete, complete author of our faith, who said, let there be light in our hearts, there's no pride. And when we see him as the finisher, we know where to go. We know where to go for that mysterious thing that, how come he can do it? The disciples get faced with that, right? Hey, what about him? He says, what is it to you about him? You follow me. Remember Jesus saying that? End of John, I think. Go find it after. What about him? You follow me. And it's just such a beautiful invitation, and it'll stop us from being legal. Listen, he doesn't want us to not be, we're not a legalistic church, we're pretty loosey-goosey. He doesn't want us to be unholy. He wants us to be more holy. The new way of the Holy Spirit, right? That's the invitation. So if we have the courage, as we are given courage, thank you, Father, let's ask him to shine a light. Let's ask him to make us people who hear. And let's hear from one another. Loving, courageous, speaking the truth in love to one another. His agents, the agents of the finisher of our faith. Not judgmental, loving. We can do this because Jesus died and there's power in the blood and in the risen Christ. Enough. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, dear Jesus. Thank you that you are waiting for us on higher ground, that you want this family to be meeting you always around the next bend and rushing into your arms and going, wow, that was worth it. Lord God, thank you for that invitation in this passage of Scripture. Thank you for Jesus, the author and finisher, perfecter of our faith. Thank you that, Jesus, you didn't shrink back, but for the joy set before him, you endured the cross, despised the shame. We don't have to be shamed. You endured it. Thank you for all that you invite us to. Forgive me for shrinking back sometimes, for not wanting to hear, for not wanting to go there, for maybe liking my weights too much. Lord God, we invite you. I invite you, with a bit of trembling. Okay, maybe a lot of trembling. I invite you, Holy Spirit, show us the weights. Show us the sins that cling so close. Grant us courage. Grant us faith. Speak to our hearts how worth it you are. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.